You think?
Yeah.
Oh, I think they're connected.
I find that very interesting. You know, and,
because I think you have some...
Okay. We need to move on. I didn't realize our last speaker was here. So we'll need to move along. Our last speaker is from the University of, is it Chile? Or
yes.
University of Chile from Santiago. He's in a doctoral program there at the School of Public Health. And I'm sorry for the delay, so see if you can wait until he's finished with the presentation before leaving. Thank you.
Thank you. My match is a large distance for arrive to this country, from my country, Chile. It's my first time in the United States, and I'm very happy. Impact of cardiovascular risk factors and education on the relationship between income and mortality in a Chilean prospective cohort study, outlining a proper risk paradox in Latin American countries. My name's Eller Koch, no relatives to the close. Multiple studies in developed countries have demonstrated a significant impact of socioeconomic position on health and mortality. However, no prospective studies have been conducted in Latin American populations on the association between education level, income, cardiovascular risk factors, and mortality. In the present time, socioeconomic inequality is a global problem, especially in Latin American countries, such as Chile and Brazil. Chile is a middle-income Latin American developing country in an advanced stage of epidemiological and demographic transition. The location of this study is in the city of San Francisco de Mostazal, in the central region of the country. You can see in this slide an example of rapid demographic and epidemiologic transition in my country, parallel with the abrupt reduction in the fertility. In the last 40 years, obesity has increased dramatically from 12% to 35%. In addition, in spite of sustained economic expansion, Chile presents significant inequalities in the distribution of income in the world, with a Gini coefficient of 0.57. Our research question is, does education and income protect against all-cause mortality in an unequal society such as Chile? To test this hypothesis, we use a longitudinal design whose baseline started in 1997 and finished in 1999. During this period, we collected information about education level and household income level, biologic and behavioral risk factor. Our hypotheses were, firstly, education and income have a significant influence in determining survival in Chilean population. And secondly, the inverse relationship between socioeconomic position measures and all-cause mortality in Chile only is partially explained for behavioral and biological risk factors. During the period of the study, the cohort was composed by a wide sample size of 11,600 men and women. And if you look at the middle of the slide, you can see the sample scheme using a random geographic census of 518 areas in the urban center and applying a specific sample weight by sex, age, and correcting for no response rate. Finally, and endpoint the study was all-cause mortality after an average follow-up period of 8 years, considering 694 weighted cases of death. Statistical analysis were conducted through correlations between SIP measures, multiple Cox regression analysis for education and income controlling by age, sex, and risk factors, and we evaluate change in beta coefficients for ordinal or linear terms of education and household income. In this slide, you can see that only 12% had college education. And in addition, the highest quartile of income in this cohort corresponds to the poverty level for most developed countries, nearly $10,200. The correlation between education and income is much weaker in our study than in most studies conducted in developed societies. Therefore, individuals with a better income do not necessarily have a good education, and reciprocally, individuals with a better education do not necessarily have a higher income. These individuals are found mainly in the middle class Chilean stratum. In this pie graph, you can see that low education is frequently observed in higher income groups in this Chilean cohort, 33% of the last quartile. Prevalence of risk factors according to education level in this table shows that the prevalence of alcohol use, obesity, hypertension, diabetes, and family history of cardiovascular disease decrease with increasing education level. In this table, you can see the results of Cox regression analysis. The relative risk was calculated using the primary education years as a reference. Firstly, you can see that after adjusting for age, sex, and biologic and behavioral risk factors, the education level had an impressive protective effect. And secondly, these protective effects follow a dose response gradient. Beta coefficients shows a significant reduction in mortality associated to education, 31% in fully adjusted model. On the contrary, you can see in this table that after adjusting for age, sex, biologic, and behavioral risk factors, the household income level had an increasing risk on incident mortality, nearly 20%. Finally, you can see in this graph the percentage of mortality risk reduction associated to education level and income. Our findings corroborate that education has an important influence in survival in a very unequal society such as Chile. The adjustment for traditional biologic and behavioral risk factors does not completely explain the inverse relationship between education and mortality. Income and education is not the same. From life course perspective, low education level might be an indicator of early exposure to adverse life circumstances at the childhood, for example, socioeconomic stress, infectious disease, deficits in nutrition, etc. In contrast, after adjustment for age, behavior, and biological risk factors and education, income did not show any protective effect on adult mortality. Moreover, paradoxically, an increase in the mortality risk was observed in the higher quartiles of income in this Chilean cohort. The higher quartile for income in this cohort corresponds to the poverty level in most developed countries. In addition, correlations between income and education during economic expansion in Chile are weaker than in developed societies. Thus, our results suggest the existence of a pauper-rich paradox on the relationship between income and mortality risks in the Chilean society. We describe as pauper-rich those groups characterized by the coexistence of low education and higher absolute income in the Chilean middle class stratum. These groups are relatively deprived with respect to those with higher income in more developed societies. In societies with significant income inequalities, the protective effect of income for all-cause mortality is not observed. The pauper-rich groups would have the greater risk of all-cause mortality during economic expansion. Further research is needed to test the underlying mechanisms that are responsible for this paradox. How does the pauper-rich groups have an increased risk of all-cause mortality in an unequal society during economic expansion? Low education acts as an antecedent variable to behavioral and biological risk factors and mortality as an early exposure factor. But pauper-rich groups, any questions? Yeah. What are the pauper-rich groups in different societies? That is the question. Thank you, and excuse me for my English. It's my first time in the United States.
We can take one or two questions. Go ahead.
Yes, we test interaction tests between female people and male people, and this is not significant interaction. And we analyze groups as combined in the Cox regression analysis for this reason. But for all cause mortality, probably is no difference between gender. But specific causes, likely difference appears in this group. This is my opinion.
Go ahead.
Yes, I just want to stress the message of this presentation, in my opinion, which is the fact that the traditional parallel relation between education and income doesn't seem to be the general rule for all the societies. And this is a developing society in transition where education seems to have much more importance. Also, I want to say that income is, as an absolute value, already has been questioned in developed societies where inequalities seem to have more importance, the effect such as relative deprivation. This is a very relatively deprived group of people compared to the developed countries, and that seems to be a very powerful factor in predicting outcomes. And here, clearly, education is buffering in the effect of income in this group of people.
Thank you, Doctor. Chile is one of the 15 most unequal countries in regard to the distribution of its income. And situations difficult to explain in my country happen here. people with very good education who have a little purchasing power. The opposite, people with money that hardly have finished primary school. And education can be act to a buffer of the health risks. This is an hypothesis for this pauper-rich paradox. Thank you.
Could this possibly be explained
low
education by an underground economy?
Okay, I don't... excuse me. Okay.
And sometimes it's very huge in developing countries.
Yes.
I don't know the word. Informal.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Romero. Thank you.
One last comment. And I believe that these findings may guide government policies about what needs to be done to prioritization policies. And the emphasis in education is extremely important, probably
yes.
More than what can be done to finish the money as a first step.
So I have just one very probably naive and maybe sophomore comment, but could it not be that increased income allows some of these individuals to buy the things that are worse for their health compared to, I mean, similar to what happened in, the kind of the change that we saw in the U.S. when, 100 years ago, rich people had more cardiovascular disease, et cetera, and we had to shift. So perhaps that might be something that might be influencing.
Yes.
Higher income allows them to buy poorer foods, worse foods,
more cigarettes,
cetera,
yes.
Cigars.
More alcohol.
Yes.
But money is not all.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I want to thank everybody for staying till the end. I don't know if our speakers have a few minutes here if you want to ask some questions. And again, I want to remind you, the Epidemiology Awards, there'll be a social epidemiologist. I believe Ana Diaz-Ruiz's talk is scheduled for 3:15 in room 6D and E if you'd like to join us. The Epidemiology Awards start at 2:30 in 6D&E, and the person who's getting the Wade Hampton Frost Award is a social epidemiologist. Oh, so you may want to come, yeah. You'll have to sit through a few awards beforehand, but 2:30, yeah. Hi. Unfortunately, we don't have social epidemiology functions normally. We have social epidemiology sessions, so that you can find in the program book. You can look through and find out what that are. And it just so happens that I'm a social epidemiologist, and so I nominated Ana Diaz-Ruiz. I don't know if you know her work. she's used multi-level modeling a lot in looking at social determinants and neighborhood structure, so it's very relevant to some of the talks here. And so she's going to be, we have awards for the best teacher, the one who's made, you know, significant contributions. And there's three awards, and so the person who's giving the, who won the Wade Hampton Frost lecture had a significant impact, and that's the social epidemiologist. So you'd have to sit through a number of awards. I'm going to be introducing her, I guess, since I nominated her. But it, so the ceremony, it's open to anybody. It's at 2:30 in room 6D and E. Actually, I'm going to head over there. I don't know if you wanted to go. Oh, okay. And we also have a social Tuesday night. I don't know if I'm supposed to... Oh, maybe just close this down. At a Spanish restaurant, Cafe Sevilla.